chapter 21. 2 Chronicles chapter 21. The title of my sermon this morning is The Giants Keep... 2 Samuel chapter 21, verses 15 through 22. But the giants keep coming. The giants keep coming. We just talked about David and Goliath. And that was the first of the giants to fall. And we know what happened is when the Philistines saw Goliath fall, they started running. And the whole army of Israel chased them and spoiled them and defeated them. But they didn't get rid of all the enemy. We know in Samuel 17, verse 37, said David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." See, when we know God, there's nothing too big. His hand is not shortened that it cannot save. There's nothing too hard for him. But we need to have the Lord do the delivering. And so David, because he beats the champion of the Philistine, he rises in favor. Now last week we talked about David having a good idea and it not working out. But here, David rises to favor because he has defeated God's enemy. He has stood for God. And they know about the song that they sing that Saul has slain his thousands and David has slain his 10,000s. And Saul gets mad and says, "Well, they give him more credit than me. I'm the king of Israel." And so Saul from that time wants to kind of keep control on David, so he brings him into the palace. And David was also a skilled musician. And he could help Saul and bring peace to the palace when Saul was having discouragement or feeling bad. But we also know the story that Saul disobeyed God, didn't kill all the Amalekites, did sacrifice for himself. And God tells Samuel the prophet that Saul's removed. He's not going to be king much longer. And to go and anoint David as the king. Okay? David as the king. And so this goes on, and we know the story about how Saul tried to kill David because he wanted his son Jonathan to rule in his place when he passed on. But we know that David and Jonathan became close friends because they were serving the same God and they were being obedient to God. But the Philistines don't go away. And after some time, Saul and his sons are killed by the Philistines. Now the door is open. All the obstacles are removed for David to become king. And we could pick up from what we did last Sunday there. But here's the point. And here's what we're going to find in our text this morning. But giants still remain. So let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 21, verses 15 through 22. And we'll see what the Bible has to say about this. But before we do that, let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you that you are the lighthouse, Lord. We thank you that you have prepared a mansion for us, Lord, in eternity. Father, we thank you, Lord, that your invitation is for whosoever. We thank you for your greatness. And we glorify you. Lord, we just ask to be with us time, Lord, of message. Lord, as we read your word, that its truth would speak to us. Father, that your Holy Spirit would have full reign, that you bind Satan on our behalf. Father, help us to be attentive, Lord. Help us not to think about other things, Lord. But Father, think on you. And that your truth would change our lives, Lord. And that we would leave here more like you than we came in. Lord, we thank you and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In 2 Samuel chapter 21, verses 15 through 22, it says, "Moreover." Now, Philistines are still there. Moreover, the Philistines had what? Yet war with Israel. And David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. You know, it's tiresome fighting battles at times. And we see here that David, he's getting up in age, but he's still in his prime of life, and he's wore out. You know, sometimes giants wear you out. Sometimes armies wear you out. Sometimes spiritual battles wear you out. And so David is getting wore out. And Ishbibenob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, fought to have slain David. We need to be careful when we are weary, when we are faint, because that's an opportunity for the enemy to attack. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swear unto him, saying, "Thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel." And it came to pass that there was a what? Again, a battle with the Philistines at Gob. Then Shephachai the Hushite slew Saph, which was of the sons of the who? Giants. They keep on coming. Verse 19. And there was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines, where Elhanan, the son of Jairithgim, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. Now we see that one way or another, all these giants are related to Goliath. They all come from the same source. They all have the same purpose in mind: to defy God, to defeat the people of God. And there was yet, and what? Look at this. And there was yet a battle in Gath, where a man of great stature that had on his hand six fingers and on every foot six toes, 24 in number, and he was also born to the giant. And when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimeah, the brother of David, slew him. These four were born to the giant in Gath, and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. You know, there is some discussion on who these giants were. Were they Goliath's brothers? Were they his sons? One is clearly identified as the brother of Goliath. You go back to Joshua, it talks about the five lords of the Philistines. They said that they were all giants in the land. But the issue is that David is king. He's beat his giant Goliath, but the giants keep on coming. So this morning I want us to think about this, about the giants that we will face. And some of these are grotesque. They have six toes and six fingers on their hands. They're huge and they're ugly. But the issue is what we need to understand are four basic things. First of all, the reality of giants. There is the certainty of their existence. Now we go back to David. David picked up what? 5 stones. He only needed one. Some people say that, well, it's because he missed the first time, he had some more for ammunition. I don't believe that at all. Because he went in the name of the Lord, and God does things right the first time. Amen. But there were other giants there that David could have taken on at that time. But sometimes we don't keep on fighting in succession immediately. Sometimes we have to wait for the giant to appear, and they will come. and they will come. So we see in the reality of giants that in here and in our text here, it says the certainty of their existence. They're Saph. There's the dude with six fingers and six toes. There's Ishbabanab. These people are real. The giants are real. Don't think that there's not giants out there. The conflict they create. We see in our text numerous times here, and there was yet again war. And again there was a battle. And there was another battle. And there was another battle. And they just keep on coming. Because they want to destroy. They want to destroy. So they create conflict. And the conquest they seek. Ishbabanab had a clear purpose in mind. He wanted to kill David. Because he wanted revenge. And folks, we need to understand that your past can come back and get you. Past actions can come back and get you. The other ones wanted to get back to power again and get rid of these pesky Israelites that just keep on multiplying and taking what they thought was their land, but God had promised them the land of the Philistines. Where was Philistine? It was the Gaza Strip. And you know something today? There's giants over there even today. So we see the reality of the giants, the certainty of their existence, the conflict they create, and the conquest they seek. And all these battles and everything made David what? Tired. It made him weary. Let's not be weary in well-doing, for we shall what? Reap if we faint not. So we need to understand that there are giants out there today. There are contemporary giants. Now we see on movies and stuff these great big guys. You see on the NBA court these great big guys. But we're not talking about physical gigantic giants. There's giants that we face every day in our life. And I want to talk about the giants that we face in our life. And I think of them as the A's. There's three of them. The first giant that we face in our lives today is anxiety. We just got through with school. And I got emails from parents. Please give my kids some more time on the math test because they're having a panic attack. See, instead of being prepared, we just want to be scared. My statement back was, if you studied, there wouldn't be anxiety. But see, a lot of times anxiety comes because we're just not prepared. Or we just choose to be. Now, I understand there's people that are scared of crowds. I understand there's people that are scared of heights. There's people that are scared of snakes. Being scared of something doesn't mean that you constantly dwell on it. And the problem is today is that there's people that just dwell on things and say, all these things are going wrong, I just can't handle it anymore. And it just causes them to be weary and to be faint. You know, a lot of people have anxiety about the unknown. You know, we just came through this pandemic and we just didn't know what was going to happen. Everybody's anxious about that. Yesterday, when I was out in the parking lot praying for people, a person stopped by and we started talking, started witnessing to him. And I said, how many people stopped by? I said, not as much now. I said, but boy, when COVID was happening, we had all sorts of people here because they were anxious. They didn't know what was going to happen next. And you know something? The Bible says there's no fear in love. Because perfect love casteth out what? All fear. But we'll get back to that in a minute. So that's the first day That's a giant in our lives today. And do you know people that are just anxious all the time? They have anxiety. There's a lot of people I meet who say, I just have anxiety. Has the world changed that much? Still the same. That we went through the same things. Then the second A is affliction. There's the giant of affliction. There could be a physical affliction. You could have some sort of devastating disease, and we've been talking and praying about people like that that have fights with cancer. And truly, that is a giant. We talk about Ava, and we pray for her. Glad to report that she's doing well, and she had her transplant surgery. I hope that she gets over this giant of cancer. But it saps our energy. It takes us off this path that has to redirect us to deal with the problem that we have right in front of us. There's emotional affliction. You know, people just don't get over guilt. They can't get rid of their past. They can't get rid of their mistakes. They think, I should have done something else, and they will sit and get anxious and they get upset and they let this consume their lives. And they feel useless and defeated. Their spiritual affliction, where you just don't think God hears you anymore. You need to understand where that's coming from. Is it coming because of your lifestyle? Is it coming because of a test? They're all tests. But people get anxious. People get afflicted. And the third A is the giant of addiction. We hear on the news all the time about this opioid crisis. But folks, that's just not the only addiction we're out there. Some people are addicted to their cell phones.
Amen.
Some people are addicted to some sort of game. We hear these tragic things about TikTok challenges. Folks, these are challenges. These are giants out there. Waiting to what? Make you faint, make you weak, and take away your life. Take away your joy. You know, there's people addicted to pornography. There's people that are addicted to drugs. There's people that are addicted. And we hear all the time. And the sad part about it is people use these three A's as excuses for why they can't do stuff. But we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. So see the reality of giants. They do exist. It does cause conflict. They're seeking conquest, and they haven't gone away today. They've just changed form. There's a reason to fight giants. There's a reason to fight giants. David fought Goliath for the cause of God. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 29, and David said, what have I now done? Is there not a what? A cause. Folks, there's a cause. The kingdom of heaven is the cause. The salvation of souls is a cause. People will oppose you for that. We see here in our text, the reason to fight the giants was that David was too weak to fight. And the people did not want the light to go out, the light of Israel to go out. And folks, here's the point for us. We need to fight the giants that we encounter in today's life so our light of Christ does not go out. So other people can see that. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 5 and 6, it says, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch. Watch and be sober. There's a reason to fight giants. It's because of the cause of God. There's a reason to fight giants so the light in our lives do not go out. There's a reason to fight so others will join the conflict. Now, here was the issue. When Israel came up against an enemy, and one person turned tail and started running, you know what they all did? They all turned tail and started running. David won the battle with Goliath. And then these other giants that we see here today, these other three, guess what? David didn't kill them. His servants did. Other people in the army did. See, there are people watching our lives today and seeing how we deal with the giants we have. And if we get defeated, they'll get defeated. And what we need to understand is that people are watching. And we need to encourage others to join the conflict. In Revelation it says, and they stood by the word of their testimony. You know, there's another time of conflict. It was when Nehemiah was coming back and he was building the walls of Jerusalem. And there were outward oppositions out there. And there was people doing subterfuge and infiltrating the Jews and weakening their hands. And Nehemiah 2 verse 18 says, then I told them that the hand of my God was, which was good upon me, as also the king's word that had spoken to me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this what? Good work. Folks, there was a cause. Those giants were trying to defeat Israel. Those giants were defying God. There was a cause. There was a cause to keep David alive, because finally all the civil war is gone and we're having victory in God. We have a man that's leading godly. He'll still make mistakes, but he's leading godly. And then lastly, we see others joining the conflict. So we see the reality of giants. We see the reason to fight giants. Now, here's the meat of this. There's resources to fight them too. The resources to fight giants is help from God Himself. Help from God Himself. In Isaiah 41 verses 10 through 13, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteous. Behold, all they that are incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they shall strive, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, because they'll be defeated. Even them that contend with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Folks, David went out with just a sling and stones because he had God on his side. And the giant fell. All these others went out with their weapons, but they went in the power of God and they fell. We need help from God. I look to the hills from whence cometh my what? Help. Help. We see help from God Himself. We see help from others who are following God. All those servants of David, those three that killed the three, they had been with David. They had watched David. They had been encouraged by David. And now it's time for them to get in the fight. But oh, so many times we just say, well, let someone else do it. If someone else didn't do it, those giants would still be there today. And so Psalm 54 verse 4 says, behold, God is my helper. We need to realize that. But then look at this next phrase. It says, the Lord is with them that what? Upholdeth my soul. Folks, we need to understand that help comes from God Himself, but help comes from other godly people. Comes from other godly people. There's hope from God. The second resource is hope from God. In Psalm 42 verse 5 says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted me? Hope thou in God. You know, people get defeated because they have no hope. They give up. for I shall yet praise him for the help of his what? Countenance. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. You know why you get to feed your spiritual life? You take your eyes off God. You know how you get defeated in your emotional life? You take your eyes off of God. You know how giants can get in your life? You take your eyes off God. You set your mind, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Love not the world. Because you get help from God Himself. You get help from other people that are following God. You get hope from God. The resources to fight giants is prayer to God. What was the first one? Anxiety. Philippians chapter 4 verse 6. Be careful or anxious for what? Nothing. But in everything by what? Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. The second one was affliction. James chapter 5 verse 13. A memory verse. If any be among you afflicted, let him pray. Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. The one was about addiction. Purity toward God. Romans chapter 13 verse 14 says this. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Folks, we let giants come right through the front door. And then we're shocked about what happens. I look to the hills for when it's coming my help. My help comes from God. Help comes from others. Hope comes from God. And then we need to pray to Him. You can't have victory over sin unless you decide to have a pure life. You can't stop drinking unless you stop going to the stores where you can buy the stuff, and unless you stop going to the bars where you can hang out with other people. Folks, I've seen people delivered from drugs. I've seen people delivered from alcohol. I've seen people delivered from pornography. I've seen people delivered if they want to be and if they call God out for help. The last one is performance for God. In Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Matthew chapter 17 verse 20, and Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, you can't do this. I can't win. We can't win. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, remove thence to yonder place, and it shall be removed. And here's the thing. I want everybody to read this together. And nothing shall be impossible unto you, including killing the giants that just keep on coming. So we have the reality. We have the reason for that. We see the resources, but there's the result possible against giants. The results possible against giants. Victory. You know what? What does verse 22 say here? It says, these four were born to the giant of Gath. And fell by the hand of David and the hand of his servants. They won. You can win too. You can win too. Romans chapter 8 verse 37 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. See, large tests stand in front of you, sent from God to improve your faith. Giants stand in front of you, allowed by God to prove your faith, to test your faith, to see if you'll trust in Him instead of yourself, to see if you can actually have the faith to move a mountain. a faith to kill a giant, a faith to live a pure life, a faith to live for Him, a faith to do all the things that God wants us to do. We can have victory this morning if you allow it to happen. Giants can be stopped. Maybe you're here today and you say, boy, I got some problems in my life. Give them to God. Cast your care on Him, for He cares for all your care. All your care, for He cares for you. Let's have the faith to do this. Let's see the cause. Let's see where the help comes. Let's do the things that we can do. We can pray and stay pure and have our faith work for God. Giants can be stopped. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, we just ask You this time of invitation. Father, if someone here does not know You as Savior, Lord, today I pray that this will be the day of their salvation. Lord, I pray that You just help us, Lord, that are struggling with emotional battles and physical battles and spiritual battles, Lord, that we surrender to You, we get our help from You by having faith in You, and that we'll follow You. And Lord, we'll see victory. Lord, we confess that we are weak without You. But Lord, as Paul says, I would rather glory in my infirmities that the power of God may rest on me. And Lord, I just ask for that this morning here. Rain Your Holy Spirit down upon us today and help us to win. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.